Good evening, my lovelies. I'm Graham Blackburn, and welcome to the Naked Football Show. As usual, we welcome our captain of the side, Phil Ham.
Hello.
For a bit of speed down the left flank, we welcome back youngster Ray Slegg.
Quite right.
And following his tirade on the website about the size of the home crowds this year, we thought it necessary to draft in a rather miffed old git. However, he's probably so miffed that he's not turned up yet. Apparently he's on his way.
He's stuck in the crowds.
Yeah.
Going to Christmas shopping or something.
He's probably being lifted asunder by young ladies or something. So anyway, along with the issue of crowd size, we'll look at the continuing chasm that exists between our home and away form, which was perfectly illustrated within the last 4 days, of course. And if we have time, we'll look at possible transfer targets in light of the now imminent takeover. So, as usual, email in with your thoughts to studio@icrfm.co.uk or text us on the usual number, which is 07973 851 968. Okay, Raimondo, Cardiff and Southampton. You went to both games. How do you sum up this strange state of affairs, young man?
Thank you for you summed it up. I always say that decisions over the year do level themselves out. And strays at Cardiff, we had a ball that hit the post, hit the bar in the first minute, and came away losing. Last night, Southampton's one shot came off the inside of the post, would have made it 1-1, came out, and we survived. So I think on the two games, the hinges story. I think if we'd have scored in the first minute on Saturday, we'd have won. If Southampton would have scored last night, it may not have been so easy. But there lies a tale. It's a strange matter of fact. I just hope we put it right soon, because if we don't, we are going to struggle.
So well, I worked out in my star column today, you can exclusively read that I did the maths on it. If we win all our home games and carry on away at the same rate of points gathering of 0.44 points per game away,
yeah,
I know, we'll end up with at 79.2 points at the end of the season, which would be enough to get us in the playoffs. When obviously we win the home leg, and then we've got a 4-9 chance of drawing the away leg. And the great unanswered question is, where do we stand on neutral grounds at the moment? But anyway, no. But seriously, what on earth do you think is the difference then? Because it's so
I think it's in the mind now. I think there's a mindset, and I think if we had scored on Saturday and got 1-0 up, Cardiff were in a bit of a slump themselves. They'd have thought another game we're going to lose, and we'd have probably won. But we went one down. It was a terrible day weather-wise. It wasn't a very good game to play football. Day to play football. I think they've just got the mindset, well, here we go again. And someone's got to knock it out of them.
But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's not as if, away from home, we're always very bad. It's not like we're just, you know, there's a lot of the games this season, I think I pointed to like five of them or something, that, you know, Plymouth, unlucky last-minute penalty. MK Dons, unlucky last-minute penalty. Burnley, unlucky, ridiculous piece of linesmanship in the last minute. And there was two or three others out
there.
QPR, again, we should have scored goals there. Norwich, we were two up and we surrendered a two-goal lead. Well, although I don't think we played terribly well.
Dodgy penalty at Sheffield United.
Sheffield United, yeah. Well, that's six of those games when, you know, but for a bit more luck, we probably should have won.
But we've definitely played the best football at home.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. And again, last night was...
Quick round of applause as well.
Tremendous periods of football. In fact, once that ball had come off the post, we controlled the rest of the game. And to be fair, we could have had 3, 4, 5. How John Walters missed his usual angle shot at Church North, I don't know.
I think he should have played that across the box to Alan Lee, to be honest. I think he was trying to replicate the goal he scored against, who was it, Bristol City, and belted it straight at the goalkeeper on this occasion, didn't he, I think. But, it's the continuing conundrum. Do you want to do some 1-2s into your microphone?
Would that be the equivalent of my singing? I want to sing, that's what I really want to do.
I'd rather discuss our away record.
But everyone's bored with all that talk about away
Well, record. I know, this is it. I said to Graham, don't come to me first, because I've said so many times what the situation is, or, you know, tried to find some kind of rhyme or reason for it, and really, at the end of the day, there isn't.
There's nothing you can say about it, really. We're bloody awful, very messy food away from home, and jolly nice at home.
Yeah.
And one record's going to go sooner or later. The home record's going to go, or the away record's going to go. They both won't last all year.
They might do, mightn't they? They might last forever. Well, we might win all our remaining home matches. So
what, forever? In perpetuity?
Forever, yes. Which is presumably what Mr. Evans
Paul Monroe,
imagining.
Do you think, yeah.
Because I bet that he's got much bigger plans for us than we sort of small horizoned people imagine. I bet that he has noticed that you need a minimum 30,000 capacity stadium for European Champions League football.
Which we've got.
Carry it on from there. Yes, I bet that he's thinking of that.
In Austria next year. None of the stages in Austria was bigger than that for the European Championship. But although we won't be going, of course, next year.
Won't we? Why is that?
Bigger than that.
Yeah. So come on then, what will Mr. Evans's grand plans be?
Well, I bet that is a central feature of it, although it's not the only feature of it.
What do you mean? I mean, we've got a grand that already holds 30,000.
Yes, and I'm sure that's why he's that's one of the reasons why he's interested in buying us, because I'm sure that he, being a businessman working on a world scale, is thinking, I want a world scale football club. I want a European Champions League football club.
Mm.
And I think that's what.
Do you think he's thinking as long term as that?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be that long term, does it? Within sort of 16 months of now, we could be in the European Champions League.
No, I don't mean that. I mean that he's. I mean, his motivation behind all this, because
it's about fourfold.
It's folding, I would say. But the main thing with his motivation is that he's apparently not a football fan. So
which
obviously
is no bad thing.
Well,
it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
True. But money, therefore, would presumably be his motivation in all this. Now, does that mean, as you say, that long term it's a case of getting town into the Champions League, which I would say is fairly unlikely, given that you've got so many other clubs who are trying to do exactly the same thing with multi-billionaire owners? Or is it a case of getting town in the Premiership, and then two or three years down the line, if the club is established, then selling the club for
what would be
a much larger figure than he would pay for it.
He does have that option.
Now.
However, as quickly as we can, we must say that one of his motivations is the entree into the world of corporate business entertainment that Sir Lord David Sheepshanks offers him. David Sheepshanks can open the door in a way that won't have dawn raids occurring as they have done today. David Sheepshanks, who is at this very moment one of the most important men in football, he is sitting there together with the head of the Kent Borough Council or something, choosing the England manager. David Sheepshanks can open the door to Mr. Evans to lots of corporate business in a perfectly respectable way, and I'm sure that perfectly reasonably that is one of Mr. Evans' fourfold reasons for buying us.
Well, it's no coincidence that E.ON are leaving sponsorship this year, and when they go to the Premiership, which we all hope we will, guess who's going to sponsor the club next year? It'll be one of Mr. Evans' companies, and that will go across to China, to Japan, to America. That will be a global advertising source for his company. Fantastic. The other thing you touched on, Philip, there, the ground capacity. We all know that if we hadn't gone down that disastrous season 2001, they were going to build up the Cobbold Stand.
Yeah, the plans are there.
And the plans are there. So if we go with the Premiership, do not be surprised if that's built up very quickly to make it a 40,000-seater stadium. And the long-term aim, I would guess, is when we get the World Cup in 2018, the ground will be fit enough to have a couple of World Cup games. And that's in his mind as well. So in my mind, the ground's perfectly placed, the town is perfectly placed, the logistics are superb, and a 40,000 stadium would be very well positioned for World Cup matches. So it's a long-term plan, as we touched on.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a short-term, come in, make your money, get out. I still hope that they've looked at him and judged him, and they made the right decision.
But that is the fear, isn't it? That he is just, I mean, well, I don't know, fear. Is the concern, perhaps, that he is a short-term rather than a long-termer. But there again, if he's putting money into the club that's going to get the club into the Premiership, then, you know, it's a price.
He's a god anyway. Just to get into the Premiership, we would slice off our members to get into the Premiership, wouldn't they? With people like Ray and I, then our members are no use anyway. We might as well.
Yeah, speak for yourself, elderly gentleman.
It does seem ironic that Ray is talking about increasing the capacity to a sort of 100,000 seater stadium, when so many people on the website today have been declaring themselves to be Welsh or ladies or in some way poor or carrot eating, that they can't afford to ever come to the ground, and so that 19,103 and a dog and a badger, they in their view was a jolly good attendance last night, whereas in my view it was absolutely disgusting and disgraceful and a
slap in the face.
Well,
you two are completely different on this, aren't you?
I don't agree. Because, let's face off
on the crowds here.
In fact, it's a cold Tuesday night.
Oh, and it often is in the winter.
I think it was actually a relatively warm Tuesday night.
There are a lot of matches coming up, as you well
know. Well, as there are in the season, yes, there always are.
They're not all millionaires like you, I'm afraid.
Well, that's fair comment. Yes, lots of people are very poor.
They've got to pay for Christmas.
The Fodfather said today that he got no food or wood for his... Well, good grief. Go down the council and get some money. This is all bonkers.
No, but I think, you know, there is certainly a case for...
What? For being poor?
No.
For being poor. Very, very poor.
No.
Buy a season ticket for about 300 or 400 quid. They're dirt cheap.
Yeah, but if you buy one, I mean, you know...
One? Well, that's all you need to go. You don't need two to go.
if you're a family,
if you're a family, I think you can get a child's ticket for about £159 for the season.
Yeah, but still,
£159.
Okay,
that's the price of one Burberry thong and a half an hour with a.
Yeah. Okay. but if people aren't season ticket holders, which obviously a lot of people aren't,
why aren't they then?
Well, partly...
Are they just interested in writing on a website or something?
No, but people live away from town or whatever, don't they? And can't make games
They're excluded. People who don't actually live here,
right? Well, there's quite a lot of towns...
120,000 people live in the town,
yep.
Although we realise that the actual town doesn't seem to support the football club at all. All these surveys seem to suggest everyone drives... sort of half an hour, if you've got to use the A14, as I have done two nights in a row now, you've got to leave about 4 hours.
Yeah, well, I think there is something to be said that the vast majority of the support lives outside the town, and
I mean, those clubs. I mean, that's ridiculous. With a lot of clubs, Southampton's a classic example. You look at the people come from Southampton in the town live there. They get people from all over Hampshire. We're no different to those people. And also, I should say, the reason people stay away, and the people on your website who, some idiots, because Mr. Sheepshanks is still there, they refuse to go.
They're all dead now.
Which is very small-minded. No, there's a lot on there, and there are people I know, and you probably know, won't go, which is small-minded and stupid to the extreme, because they're going to miss out on some of the best football. This comes from playing at the moment.
On the one hand, Sir Evans is logically looking at us, and he is seeing, as Ray is seeing, Ray and I are as one. We're seeing that there's 100,000 capacity potential here in Ipswich. We've got the whole of this area to draw from. Think, it's so damn difficult to go to away matches, because the nearest away match is many miles away, isn't it? But the good part of that is, we've got no competition. There's a yellow club up there, but we've got no competition, really. We can have this huge, huge capacity stadium, and I think that's absolutely true. You cannot underestimate the potential demand. Look at my nephew yesterday in Sydney. He was part of a 80,000 crowd in Sydney yesterday to watch Sydney FC play some...
And the LA Galaxy.
Oh, yes, yeah, some American team. But there were 80,000 people there.
Slightly bigger place, I would say.
Yeah, I said they're not comparable.
But you're surprised, aren't you, that it was 80,000. That's more people than ever go to a football match here in England, other than to the National Stadium. So, there's massive capacity, massive potential here in East Anglia, and yet... Since last Christmas, we have seen a Premiership football match, every single home match at Portman Road, and the numpties are actually coming in lesser numbers. And now, Ray says, it's caught them by surprise that Christmas is here yet again, and it's cool yet again here in the winter. There was a daft thing that someone was saying, we've got 5 home matches out of 7. Well, actually, we've got 23 home matches during the course of the season, and they're all going to cost you something.
I think the point is that we've got an awful lot within December, haven't we? We've got about...
So what?
How many
extra ones have we got? One extra one? Because five home matches out of 7 is actually the same
anyway.
As 5 home matches out of 8, which is only one extra match, isn't it?
I mean,
logically, statistically.
But you know, and do not be... Christmas is the most expensive time of the year for families. You know that. You can't deny it. You can't expect a family person to pay for 5 matches and come to every game. They must pick and choose, and I think they're going to pick the Saturday game rather than the Tuesday night game when they can watch Manchester United on TV at home in front of the fire. I'm sorry you'll find there'll be a much bigger crowd on Saturday. I would suggest, even though Barnsley won't be more than a minibus load down with them, I would suggest 22,000.
22,000? They're missing out. They're so silly. Because the positive in all this is we're playing some lovely football. I thought Pablo Cunhago overtook Walters. I can never think of Walters' name. It's such an anonymous name. Jonathan Walters. You know, I thought Pablo overtook him last night. He's my man of the season so far.
Oh, really? You don't go away. If you were a coward on Saturday, you'd have said, well, where is Pablo? Is he playing? What's he doing?
Yeah, but I don't blame him for that, really.
That's frustrating. You must play with 11 men away from home, especially in Cardiff.
Okay, why does he do that, then?
I don't think he's a fool,
is he? He's actually a very serious. He's a boring young man. He's not a sort of Lothario. Although his two lovely women, we've been through all that before.
I think we should leave that.
But he's a serious young man, isn't he? He is. He's not a fool.
And I think if he just scored at Burnley and got that goal when he was a perfect goal, if he broke his duck at Burnley.
Well, he scored at Norwich, didn't he? So
I'll break my duck in my bath if he doesn't.
Have we had any?
He was rubbish. That's the only one I've seen.
I've just fallen asleep. We've had a shed load of emails, but we're never going to get through them all.
I want the emails. I live for the emails.
If you have to stop talking so I can read them out, that's the problem, Mr. Gitts. That's the only flaw. Right, well, as we're still on the subject of crowds, or lack thereof, I won't read out the whole thing because it goes on a bit, and we've got quite a few. So, but Ian Rose says that if you look at teams like Sheffield United, Wolves, Preston, Bristol, all supposedly much bigger than us, certainly attendance-wise, capacity-wise, they're getting smaller crowds than us. Southampton, we played in midweek, where they only bring another minibus down.
Yeah, they bring about 20, didn't they?
Yeah. Coventry, that game was on Sky, so Coventry brought 3 people and a dog down. I'm paraphrasing here, he didn't say all this, but this is basically what he's saying. And we haven't yet played some of the bigger teams, and it's Christmas. And basically, he's sort of pretty much saying what Ray has said to me. That's one, yeah, okay. Give me a chance.
We were about 20% down on about 3 or 4 years ago. 20% down.
Yeah.
Whereas the football that we're offering up is absolutely fabulous.
It is now, but it hasn't been, has it? And I think that's
last
a matter of people.
Last week it was fabulous.
In the
and
last
now
few
the
seasons.
Crowd has dropped this week.
Right, hang on, let me get another one.
So all these Christmas shoppers.
Right, we've got another one. This is back to the home away thing. This came in actually earlier from Alan Cooper, from known as ARC, A-R-C, on the web.
Oh, yeah.
You must know him. From New York, would you believe? Too thick. Two quick thoughts ahead of tonight's... Yeah, he's probably right. Ahead of tonight's programme. If you were discussing the home away dilemma, I was wondering if the problem does not lie with the changing formation, but with the personnel. Might it not be better to play 4-4-2 away, but with different players, e.g. Haynes instead of Cunhago? Pablo seems to struggle away, and Danny Haynes' pace would surely be useful on the break. Ledwinski instead of Miller, Roberts instead of Clark, blah, blah, blah.
Everything we try away from home, it doesn't seem to work out. I mean, we've tried 4-5-1, we've tried switching the personnel at Sheffield United, when I thought we actually played quite well, didn't we? But I don't know. I think Ray said before Mr. Gitt arrived that it's just sort of so psychological now that it's just a case of getting the result and then.
It's all progressing from that sort of stuff.
Win ugly, win any way you can. 1-0, last minute, penalty, handball, own goal. That'll do me.
Yeah.
Then off we
go. He was also upset that Jammer got booed.
Yeah, I was actually. I mean, I know.
Yeah, that was a
lot of people
sad.
Don't like Jammer.
Well, but perhaps there was irony in it.
I don't know. I don't think the chap sits 2 seats away from me understands irony. But
I voted for Jermaine Wright 3 or 4 times in the final season.
Irony player of the season. Cars out of. I mean, Jammer was quite. I mean, he had his detractors when he was here.
Oh, I think it was festive booing. Let's put it down as
festive booing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we're blaming the festive season for everything else. So let it be festive booing.
What, you think people will kind of think that he can afford bigger Christmas presents than they can?
Hoo, 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 rather than boo, boo, boo.
Oh, well, I see what you mean, yeah. Maybe.
He was perceived to be greedy when he left.
He said he wasn't.
And fans don't... I think he was greedy.
I don't.
I can't remember.
Fans don't forget.
He was getting booed that last season he was here anyway, so I suspect he didn't exactly feel chuffed with
season,
it.
His last season, he was actually... It was a dreadful season, but he was actually... He was okay in his last season.
I didn't think he was a bad player at all. He's not a kind of spectacular kind of player by any stretch of the imagination, but he did sort of simple things well, didn't he? And I think that, you know, that's...
I think he was a simple
tool. You need that sort of player in a side. But I was told that the contract that Leeds offered him when he left here was... which, bear in mind that they were in the Championship and not in the Premiership then, was bigger than was double the size of the contract he was on in the Premiership with Ipswich. So at 28 he must have been, something like that, he's probably not going to turn it down. And, you know, I think that booing him in the way that he was, you know, I'm being booed now, this is a disgraceful statement. We'll move on to an email so we can wash over all that.
This is from Steve Myers from Malmo. That's Sweden, isn't it? I thought you said they were Norway fans, this lot. Or is it a Swedish fan?
Yeah, that was a completely different conversation.
Oh, right, sorry, else. Phil. Yeah, well, you know.
On a different occasion.
It's an age thing, isn't it? Topics of poor crowd. What more do they want? Having said that, I've done a quick review of other Championship matches. And as far as I can see, only Sheffield United, 27,000, and Charlton, both strong promotion candidates and strong Premier League effect. Had 20,000. This is lots of brackets here, so and they had better figures than we. Coventry, much bigger place than Ipswich, had only 14,000, for example. I presume he's talking about last night.
Yeah.
We would consider that little short of a disaster if we had the same. Is there a general decline in Championship attendances? It irks me to say it, but a certain club seem to buck the trend. I presume he means that lot.
Yeah, I think the point there is that most of the biggest attendances in this division are sides that have been playing in the Premiership a year, maybe 2 years ago.
And that happened with us, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a bump, isn't there, when you come down for 2 or 3 years, your attendances stay the same.
But he has suggested, first one to do so, wouldn't it be better to drop the prices and increase the attendance as they did at Cardiff and
we don't want all those.
Well, I think that the reason the club at the Road Box are traded, it doesn't actually charge full price for its spectators. There's so many gimmicks and giveaways.
Well, they also
there.
Let you purchase your season ticket monthly.
Over nine months. There's so many gimmicks up there, a pound to get in, unemployed people get in.
Well,
they count them all, and it's just all the big... smokescreen. The actual number of fans paying full whack at Carrot Road, I think, is not much more than us. When you take all the gimmicks, the freebies, the add-ons, the takeaways.
Yes, and I rather resent people being let in just by paying a carrot or something. I've paid my full whack. I don't want all
yeah,
the
Yeah, I think the general kind of reduction in prices across the board, which would obviously include your season ticket at the beginning of each season. I think, you know,
I'm all in favour of
prices
that.
Prices generally.
But not during the season. These sort of offers during the season,
yeah.
Kids for a pound. Well, I don't want kids for a pound. I've already paid a fortune for my kids to be there.
You'd never get in as a kid then.
But you'd be happy, Mr. Kitt, if for people who can't afford a season ticket, if they could buy one monthly, wouldn't you? Just have it taken out of your
It seems scratching about. If they really can't afford sort of £300. I'm not turning my nose up at poor people. There are poor people out there, but there's poor and there's poor. Just how poor do you need to be? There is a full range of prices available at Portman Road in terms of season tickets, and I think that we have adequately catered for poor people.
Whereby people who can pay over 9 months would be well
paid
daily.
Pay a penny a day or something. Go in
it
and
would
buy
be
a
about
stamp.
A penny a day, wouldn't it? A pound a day. It'd be a pound a day, wouldn't it? Anyway, yeah. Next email.
That's pretty much. Oh yeah, hang on.
Because they wouldn't have anything else.
Hundreds, you better.
Well,
have
I did, but some of them are just insulting old Git again.
That's all right.
There's one here that says, "This is from Mariner. So glad we beat Southampton, as my life would be hell living here anyway.
Yes,
I'm currently fearful for my car. It's covered in town stickers and been getting some very nasty looks all day. And it's signed Mariner, the love child of old Git.
Well, there you go. Another
He's
one.
Getting
Another
funny
one.
Looks because of that, not because of his allegiance to town.
And especially the car sticker, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, carry on for a sec.
All right, again, coming back to the takeover and stuff.
We didn't deal with the other two aspects.
We'll deal with another aspect first. The debt is the kind of question, I think, that most people still kind of have slight concerns about, in that the statement that the club's put out that they haven't really said much more on top of is that Marcus Evans will purchase £32 million worth of external debt. Now, does that mean, or will that mean, that the club no longer has any debt, or could it mean that at some point in the future Evans could start demanding repayments on that debt at a time when perhaps he has sold the club on to a third party? He paid, I think, something like £8 million, 20 pence in the pound for the debt. Now, I mean, is that a concern that you would have, Mr. Gitt?
Yes, it is. However, I would preface any such remark by saying, praise the Lord, for Mr. Evans.
Yeah.
To be able to keep saying reclusive billionaire.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
That's how I get myself to sleep at night. Yes, there could be concerns. Yes, there could be all sorts of. There's not just the. That's not the only concern, but there could be all sorts.
But that's
of concerns.
The. That's the major concern.
But,
I think.
But let's. But let's get the thing on. let's just say how wonderful it is that
let's
we're
get
going.
The money in the till.
Yes.
But I think the club have got to be very transparent because they haven't been on lots of things over the last few years. Very transparent.
Fair enough.
Spell out exactly what's happening. Have we transferred the debt? Have we got a debt? And if we still have a debt in somebody else's name, if we go up, they've got a plan for it. So if Mr. Evans comes back in 2 years' time and says he wants his money back, we've planned for it. It's over there. You can have it. Off you go. Because we'll make £100 million overnight if you go to the Premiership. So we should be able to say to ourselves, off you go if you like next year. We'll pay you off and do our own thing. But I'm sure we won't do that. But we've got a plan, plan, plan. And make sure that all the supporters know what's happened.
Well, hopefully, within the documents being sent to the we shareholders over the next few days, hopefully there will be indications of this. And as Ray says, let's hope that even if everything isn't spelled out, let's hope there is a transparency, and let's hope that a reasonable man can say, yes, okay, there are still some imponderables here, but they're not hidden imponderables.
Mm.
Let's make sure that we know what is known and know what is unknown.
You're turning into Dick Cheney, aren't you?
Yeah, or was it Donald Rumsfeld?
Donald Rumsfeld, also, yeah. Yeah, so ponderable imponderables rather than. Yeah.
Because, and let's also tell ourselves that Mr. Evans is coming in as a businessman with a lot of money. He wants a return. He deserves a return. There's no reason why he shouldn't make money out of this at the same time as helping us. Every indication that I have seen so far is that he is a very positive thing. He's not pretending that he's coming in to stand in the centre circle holding up his scarf. There seems to be no ego involved whatsoever, and I think that's a thing to be absolutely welcome.
Well, I was impressed by the way he wrote
yes.
to the Star the day after.
Yes.
Whether Pickover said, come on, write us a letter, Mr. Evans, we don't know who you are, or whether Evans said, I'm going to write you and let you know what I'm talking about and just make touch with the people of Ipswich. I was impressed with that.
Oh.
I'm sure at the AGM or in the EGM statement we get, there'll be a message from Mr. Evans. And it'll reassure all our little thoughts, because we've been through it before, we don't want it again, that's what we're worried about.
Oh. I mean, a cynic might say that he's employed a PR firm who would obviously have written that letter and will provide some similar document to be read out at the AGM. But, yeah, ultimately...
But at least he is communicating that.
Yeah, yeah.
He has asked someone to communicate, I want to roughly say to them, I'm a good guy, that I'm not wanting to just rape them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think ultimately, whatever you say about the, whatever we say or anyone says about there being kind of possible downsides, the club has basically stagnated for the last 5 years in this division, and while other clubs have progressed due to having injections of cash, be it Derby or Wigan or Sheffield United, and we desperately, desperately need someone to put some money in to kind of...
Oh, we've been crying out for this, we've been crying out for this, Mr. Sheets.
It's a dream, it's a dream.
As we say, we're trying to find an investor, and he seems to have found
his well
found
it.
And he'll run down the AGM floor in January with a glow around him, and he'll be cheered to the rafters, and I have to say, people should be sensible and cheer because he's found the manager to save the club.
And on that note, I'm afraid we have to finish. I've got one quick text just came in. Can I understand why George Burley wasn't given a good reception by the North Stand? All we're seeing is Burley sorted out. Fans seem to have short memories. This is from Steve, by the way. He was a good manager. I think, Steve, you'll find that was irony, wasn't it?
I thought that was
I think he did get a good reception, and the sorted out thing was from...
10 years ago.
Yeah, from 10 years ago, and I think we're just taking a minute.
Remember that?
Yeah. Okay, that pretty much is, finishes us off tonight. We're a minute late, in fact, so apologies to the next guys. Thanks to Old Git, thanks to Phil, thanks to Raymondo. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care, bye-bye.
Bye.